This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Wednesday, June 14th of 2023. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Coming up on today's program, we hear about what's in the works for Boulder County's Juneteenth celebrations. Then we'll take a look at state laws designed to limit the impact of the Boycott, Divest, and Sanctions, or BDS, movement. Chris Moore has his weekly commentary, Make Them Hear You. And then herbalist Brigitte Mars shares her regular Wednesday feature, Naturally. A BBC News update and commentary from Jim Hightower are at the bottom of the hour. Then we'll present the next episode in the Lost Highways series from History Colorado. Today's documentary will trace the rise of the Western in American pop culture. Then at 9:30, Greg Schultz will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still coming up, but first a look at the headlines with KGNU's Jack Armstrong.
The Denver Nuggets will celebrate their 2023 championship title with a parade Thursday morning. The parade will begin at 10 a.m. at Union Station and will proceed down 17th Street to Broadway, then head south to end the parade at Civic Center Park. Commuters and residents of the downtown area can expect delays for at least 2 hours. Gun violence marred initial celebrations of the Nuggets' victory, but police are downplaying the connection to the basketball game. Ryan Bigham has more.
Police say a mass shooting in downtown Denver that wounded 9 people just after midnight on Tuesday morning was not related to the simultaneous Nuggets victory celebrations in the area. Denver police report that several individuals were involved in an altercation that ended in shots fired from multiple firearms. 5 of the victims have been released from the hospital, and the other 4 are in fair condition. The gun violence prevention organization's Moms Demand Action and Students Demand Action said in a joint statement Tuesday that despite recently passed gun safety measures, there is, quote, still much more work to be done. Colorado lawmakers passed 5 such gun violence laws during the recently completed 2023 legislative session in response to nationwide gun violence, as well as multiple Colorado mass shootings. For KGNU, I'm Ryan Bigham.
In a separate incident, one man is dead and another is wounded after a road rage incident in the shoulder of I-25 Tuesday afternoon. The 2 victims were driving together and had stopped their vehicle in the middle of the right lane under West 6th Avenue. One of the victims, a passenger from the stopped car, approached a car behind them. The driver of that car pulled out a firearm and shot the victim in broad daylight. The suspect then drove away while firing several shots, leaving the second victim, the first car's driver, wounded. An on-duty Denver detective conducted a traffic stop on the suspect's vehicle after hearing the gunshots. The suspect has been identified and is being held for 2 counts of first-degree murder. A former Aurora police officer accused of punching a disabled woman while off-duty has resigned. According to 9 News, Douglas Heron is facing 3 counts of assault and 2 counts of assault with a deadly weapon for 2 separate incidents that occurred within weeks of each other. According to the report, Heron was on administrative leave after allegedly shooting a suspect on a December 31st domestic violence call. Less than 2 weeks later, in January of 2023, he was accused of attacking a disabled woman in a parking lot near his house, who was walking in the middle of the street with her dog. Heron is awaiting a hearing for the alleged assault on June 21st. An influential figure in natural resources laws and tribal advocacy has passed away at 81. KGNU's Kira Zizzo has more.
University of Colorado Boulder professor Charles Wilkinson died June 6th from complications after a stroke. Wilkinson was renowned for his expertise in tribal affairs and environmental issues in the West, actively collaborating with tribal nations on various legal matters. His teaching approach involved immersive experiences, including taking students to explore rivers, abandoned mines, and visit Native American tribes, effectively bringing history, legal, and policy issues to life. Wilkinson told students that their role is to facilitate the voices that aren't being heard. Throughout his extensive career, spanning almost 6 decades, Wilkinson authored several books, including widely recognized casebooks on Indian law and federal public land law. For KGNU, I'm Kira Zizzo.
The state of Colorado is introducing a vehicle exchange program in an effort to incentivize the adoption of electric vehicles. The program will enable income-qualified Coloradans to exchange their old or high-emitting vehicles for rebates that can go towards the purchase of an electric vehicle. This rebate will provide partial coverage for the upfront expense of the electric vehicle at the time of the purchase from authorized dealers. The so-called Vehicle Exchange Colorado program is due to launch in August of 2023. Today in Boulder, mostly sunny with a high near 77 degrees, 40% chance of showers after 2. And tonight, a low of 54 degrees with a chance of showers after 9 p.m. Today in Denver, mostly sunny with a high of 79 degrees, a chance of showers after 3. Cloudy night with a low of 54 degrees and a 30% chance of showers after 9 p.m. For KGNU, I'm Jack Armstrong.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm Shannon Young. Juneteenth, also known as Freedom Day, is the newest federal holiday. The celebration commemorates the day when the final enslaved people in the United States were notified by Union soldiers they had been legally emancipated more than 2 years prior. In June of 2021, President Biden declared Juneteenth a federal holiday. This weekend, Longmont will host its second annual Juneteenth celebration. And for full disclosure, Shakita Yarbrough, who is organizing the community outdoor Juneteenth celebration to kick off Longmont's 3 days of events, is a member of the KGNU Board of Directors. KGNU's Michelle Simpson spoke with DeAndre Taylor, Boulder County's Juneteenth Program Director.
Juneteenth is significant because when the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, Black folks were not instantly freed from the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. It took time. It's not like we have TikTok and YouTube and all those things now. It took time for that word to get out. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that word was intentionally withheld from enslaved folks. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until June 19, 1865, when the Union soldiers marched into Galveston, Texas, and proclaimed that the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. And from that moment forward, all enslaved Black folks were freed in this country. That was the last group to learn of the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. And since 1865, we have celebrated Juneteenth, a merger between June and the word 19th, Juneteenth. We have celebrated Juneteenth as Freedom Day.
That's it. So, DeAndre, can you tell us what's been planned? I understand that this celebration, commemoration, will span 3 days. I also understand there are other activities leading up to it. So can you kind of give us kind of the panoramic view? What's going on?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So leading up to our planned events, we will have flag raising ceremonies throughout Boulder County, through different municipalities, City of Boulder, City of Longmont, Town of Erie, City of Lafayette, City of Louisville, even in Broomfield. Is having some displaying of the Juneteenth flag. So between the displaying and or the flag raising ceremonies and the reading of the proclamations, those are leading up to our planned events. Now, our planned events kick off on June 17th from 1 to 5 p.m. at Roosevelt Park in Longmont, Colorado, will be the Longmont Juneteenth Community Outdoor Celebration. And that is being organized by Shakita Yarbrough and team. Shakita is a city council person in the city of Longmont, but that's kicking off our Juneteenth celebration events here in Boulder County. From there, as you know, we always uplift our youth with all of our work that we do, all of our programs that we do. And so we're going to kick off on June 18th with author Niasha Williams, who will be doing a storytelling event. And then in the afternoon on June 18th, Niasha Williams will be doing a Young Writers Masterclass. And she's going to share her wisdom about becoming published, self-publishing, working with the publishing company. Any young person from 16 to 23 who is even thinking about wanting to become an author, come to this masterclass and you will share all or receive all the wisdom from Niasha Williams as it comes to that. And then we're going to be featuring the award-winning the NAACP Image Award nominee, Alice A. Duncan. She is a national proclaimed author, and she's going to give us her Juneteenth celebration, which will feature song, which will feature spoken word, which will feature excitement. And she's going to do that at CU Boulder from 1 to 3 in the Glenn Miller Ballroom.
Now, that is fabulous.
Also, and I also want to make mention on June 21st as well, we're going to have that outdoor concert proclaiming Colorado's Black history through song in partnership with the Museum of Boulder and Music in Common.
This just goes on. I mean, this sounds fabulous. And as I understand it, every event is free and open to the public, correct?
Yes, free and open to the public. Absolutely.
Okay. And, you know, DeAndre, I can't have this conversation about Juneteenth without lifting up the name of Miss Opal Lee, known as the grandmother of Juneteenth. She is someone whose story, you know, has been shared on KGNU, and someone both you and I have had the honor and pleasure of interviewing. Can you tell us just a bit about Miss Opal Lee?
Yes, Miss Opal Lee, as you mentioned, the grandmother of Juneteenth. She is why Juneteenth became a federal holiday, let alone a state holiday in many states. But she is the sole reason why Juneteenth became a federal holiday. She collected millions of signatures and personally delivered them to Washington to lobby for Juneteenth to become a national holiday. And it was such a pleasure. It was such an honor. Yeah. It was an honor to see her sitting next to President Biden back in 2021 when Juneteenth became a federal holiday. And one thing that I appreciate about Miss Opal Lee, and I asked her, what keeps her going? What keeps her motivated? And she simply said, the potential of what Juneteenth can be. Mm. Juneteenth is American history, and we all should celebrate it. Yes, we understand why we're celebrating Juneteenth, the celebration of freeing enslaved folks. Of course, we understand that, but it should be bigger. It should be our second Independence Day, because we know the hold that slavery had on our country. Mm-hmm. And for it to be signed, for the Emancipation Proclamation to be signed to end slavery, but then for it to truly be institutionalized on June 19, 1865, and the possibilities of what Juneteenth can be is wonderful.
You know, it seems to me that here in Boulder County, we're living right up to that, because each year, this is the third annual Juneteenth commemoration celebration, and each year it gets bigger. Each year it has more. Each year, you know, again, more and more people learn about it and come out and support it. So I think we're living up to that. We're living up to that, Miss Opal Lee. So again, so, so appreciative. And one last thing. Can't talk about Juneteenth without talking about red food, red drinks. Will there be some? Will we be seeing some of those floating around during the various events and activities?
Yes. Will we have Juneteenth punch? Yes, we will have Juneteenth punch. Come to one of our events, you'll get some Juneteenth punch. Yes.
I love that. Well, before we let you go, DeAndre, any last words about this upcoming Juneteenth celebration that will span June 17th through June 19th. Remember,
Yeah. Your
events leading up to that, proclamations being signed, flag raisings. Don't forget about the free concert on the 21st. There's all kinds of stuff, folks. And we're going to post all of this information on the KGNU website. So if you didn't have your pen and pad handy or your phone handy to jot all of this down, no worries. We will have it all down for you, and we hope to see you there. But any last words, DeAndre, before we let you go and get back to planning Juneteenth?
So go visit KGNU's website for a list of our events. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say thank you, Michelle, and thank you to all of our sponsors.
Thank you again for coming on this morning.
That was Black Talk host Michelle Simpson talking with DeAndre Taylor, Boulder County's Juneteenth Program Director. Anti-boycott, divest, and sanction laws have proliferated across the United States in recent years. These state laws restrict private businesses from boycotting Israel, as well as a variety of other issues, if they are wanting to contract with the state. KRCL's radioactive host Lara Jones spoke with Utah State Representative Brian King about the film Boycott, which discusses the impacts of these types of laws and how they may infringe on First Amendment rights.
We have something called SB 97 that passed 2 years ago, but was updated in this last legislative session, I believe, Representative King. So what now are folks who contract with the state no longer allowed to boycott?
So folks that are contracting or seeking to contract with the state cannot boycott. Wait, 2 years ago, we passed, I can't remember the name of the number of the bill, but it was the anti-BDS. It was restrictions on contracting with the state if you were going to boycott Israel. This year...
As a free enterprise, free market, free enterprise entity, you cannot
capitalism,
do this.
Laura, yes, capitalism.
Well, yeah, but only if you agree with us. So. That's right. So this year, SB 97 expanded this restriction on who can contract with the state of Utah to require that you can't boycott, engage in boycott activities with a number of different manufacturers of various things like fossil fuel-based energy, timber, mining, agriculture. If you boycott any of those things, you can't contract with the state of Utah. If you engage in or facilitate the support of the manufacture, distribution, sale, or use of firearms, you can't boycott those things. And if you do, you can't get a state contract. Another one was environmental standards, things like dealing with climate change.
The environmental social governance thing that's popped up as a buzzword. Was it our state auditor who was part and parcel of all this?
Yes, he was very concerned about that and said, you know, this is a coercive mechanism that the Standard & Poor's and some of the credit rating agencies have said, we're going to take these things into account in rating the creditworthiness of certain companies and businesses, is these ESG standards, environmental, social, and governmental, or governance, rather, issues.
Well, it sounds like interfering in the free market.
It is interfering with the
100%.
Free market, I think. And, you know, we're expanding this idea, the interference that we engage in at the legislature by saying we're not going to allow individuals or companies to engage in certain boycott behaviors, whether it's Israel or whether it's non-renewable resources or whether it's gun manufacturers or environmental issues or abortion is in there along with trans procedures, surgical procedures. If you come down on the wrong side of any of those issues, according to the Utah State Legislature, you can't contract. Yeah, well, here's the problem. When we start having the state of Utah as a government saying to individuals and entities, here's what you can do and here's what you can't do if you want to do business with us. Here's what you can say. Here's what political position you can take. And if you don't come down on the right side of those political positions, you can't contract with the state of Utah. That's the essence of interfering with the market.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
How many people are actually aware? Because I like to think I'm fairly politically savvy because of this radio show. And I'm watching the trailer and I'm like, I can't believe they're doing that over here. Yeah, and now I'm
totally. No, it's kind of complex, but the answer to your question is I don't think many people are aware of it. It got a little bit of publicity, it got a little bit of press coverage, but what I'm hoping, I personally feel that these bills are really susceptible to being challenged as unconstitutional, quite honestly. It's infringing on individuals and entities, 100%. Free speech, their freedom of religion even. And so I look at that and I think, why doesn't somebody step up and sue? And you heard it in the trailer.
Yeah.
They said, well, you know, we'll see in court. So, okay, let's see what the judges have to say about this.
I'm mindful that Salt Lake City requires its contractees or gives deference to those who pay a living wage. I don't have the specifics off the top of my head, but I remember that. Incentivizing is one thing. Prohibiting, limiting is another. And it sounds like this bill, which is SB 97 from the 2023 general session of the Utah legislature, goes just a bit too far in saying what a free market private company can and cannot do.
That's right. No, these are nuances. These are shades of gray. And that's one of the other reasons that you haven't heard a lot about it, is that it's really not as black and white as, are we going to restrict abortion to the point that, you know, you can't, for all practical purposes, get an abortion in the state of Utah, or, you know, those are high profile because people understand them and they go, okay, I get what's going on and I either like it a lot or I don't like it at all. This, you have to really think it through a little bit. It's nuanced. It's a little more complex.
That was Utah State Representative Brian King and KRCL's radioactive host Lara Jones discussing anti-BDS laws. That story was shared with us via Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
Make them hear.
This is Make Them Hear You with ideas on how you can have your voice heard before Congress. Amending the U.S. Constitution is incredibly difficult. Just ask the people who spent decades trying to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment, which simply would have guaranteed equal rights for women. The standard way to amend the Constitution is with a two-thirds vote in both houses of the U.S. Congress. Then, three-fourths of the state legislatures have to ratify it. As difficult as this is, California Governor Gavin Newsom is proposing a 28th Amendment to the Constitution as a workaround to the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment has relatively recently been interpreted by the U.S. Supreme Court to guarantee an individual's almost unlimited right to bear arms. The measures under Newsom's 28th Amendment plan include raising the federal minimum age to purchase a firearm from 18 to 21, mandatory universal background checks for people wishing to purchase a firearm, the introduction of a reasonable waiting period for all gun purchases, and a ban on the purchase of assault weapons for civilians. The gun regulations on the books in California are as strict as just about any state. Gun violence claims the lives of over 110 Americans a day, but California can boast a 30% lower gun death rate than the national average. According to the CDC, California's gun death rate was the 44th lowest in the nation. Newsom picked four major proposals that have overwhelming support. Newsom boasted on a tweet, quote, "Even Fox News can't deny that the 28th Amendment is widely popular. Here's their most recent polling to prove it, raising minimum age to buy a gun to 21, 81%. Background checks, 87%. A standard waiting period, 77%. Banning assault rifle sales, 61%, close quote. Newsom is also getting resistance for the other way a constitutional amendment can be added, and that is through a constitutional convention, which would require 33 states for it to be called. This seems to be what Newsom is advocating, but liberals and conservatives alike sometimes fear that a convention could change or even eliminate other provisions of the Bill of Rights and the amendments that have been passed since the late 1700s. The NRA fired back with a tweet of their own, quote, "Gavin Newsom's latest publicity stunt once again shows that his unhinged contempt for the right to self-defense has no bounds," quote, the NRA tweeted last Thursday, ignoring the most recent Fox News poll. Quote, "California is a beacon for violence. That is why the majority of Americans rightfully reject his California-style gun control," close quote. Remember, Ronald Reagan helped push through a 10-year ban on assault weapons back in 1994. But would any gun control amendment be supported by a two-thirds majority in both houses and then be ratified by 38 states? Alternatively, would two-thirds of states be willing to call a constitutional convention to vote on the 28th Amendment? If you have thoughts on Gavin Newsom's proposal to adopt the 28th Amendment, you can contact your senators and representative. This is Chris Moore with Make Them Hear You.
It's now time to check in with herbalist Brigitte Mars, who brings us her weekly episode of Naturally.
Greetings. Welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars, and today's chat is a little bit about something quite serious. What to do if someone you're around might be having a stroke? Well, of course, you should seek immediate medical attention. And it might be that you think you're having a stroke. What are some of the signs of a stroke? A sudden headache, paralysis or numbness on either or both sides of the body? Difficulty swallowing, breathing, or speaking. All of a sudden, you can't see very well. Dizziness or loss of balance. Even loss of bladder or bowel control. Confusion and loss of consciousness. So get medical attention, but there are some things that you can do until help can arrive. It's been found that if a person can be kept cool, that's going to help them get through it better. Loosen any clothing with all respect to modesty around their neck, their chest, their waist. Keeping them cool might be done by fanning them, opening a window. This is going to help minimize any damage to their brain. You might even want to apply cold compresses by just soaking some washcloths in cool water, applying them to the wrists, the neck, and the pelvic area. It's best not to give any food or drink because perhaps they might require surgery. You just don't know. You don't want them to, you know, vomit. But you could put a couple drops of rescue remedy on their wrists or on their Ajna or third eye center. This is something very non-invasive, and you can buy rescue remedy at Rebecca's or any natural food store. Monitor their breathing and Treatment for a stroke can happen afterwards. So once you've gotten medical attention, know that there are herbs that can help regain function. I think of lion's mane mushroom is wonderful. I think of brain tonic herbs like ginkgo and gotu kola. I also think of things like fish oil supplementation, alpha lipoic acid. And this might seem a little crazy and you might not want to do this, but my partner knows if they ever think I'm having a stroke, give me a dose of cayenne tincture because it moves through blockages in circulation. Again, most people are going to get medical attention right away, but that is another thing. If I'm conscious, I would take a dropper full of cayenne tincture. And I always have it ready just because you never know. Thanks for joining me. I know this is a serious topic, and I'm not trying to prescribe what you should do because I think there are many experts at the hospital that can be of help in such a condition. But it is good to be prepared for anything. And being able to act fast and act swiftly can make a big difference between short-term care and long-term care. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.
And that's going to do it for today's Morning Magazine. Up next are the BBC News headlines.